but the anointing that Jesus brought from heaven onto this earth drives out sickness and disease and releases people from demonic forces. Don't you? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And if Jesus is anointed, then we are anointed. And of course, that's what 1 John talks about, the body of Christ, all having an anointing from God. And you might say, well, what is that, an anointing? Well, it is something from God that's rubbed on you. It's something from God that's rubbed on me. It's something that releases God's power that's rubbed on us so that we can release it in the world around us. Anointing means simply to rub on. If I was to say, I want you to anoint me with oil, that means that I want you to take some oil and rub it on me. It's as simple as that. And Jesus said that he was anointed from the Father. So God has an anointing, something, some kind of tangible power or influence to bring into the world. And he did it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did it through the Lord Jesus Christ, it was meant to go on to everybody that called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Because that's what it's all about. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God. Jesus died so that we might bring other people into the kingdom of God. And you and I are challenged by the scriptures to do what we can to advance the kingdom of God. And the way we advance the kingdom of God is bring people into the kingdom of God. To pluck them out of the off the road that they're on and bring them into the kingdom of light. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about demonstrating heaven on earth. And I'm convinced if people could see heaven here on earth, if they could see demonstrations of heaven here on earth, wow, they'd say, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. And if they could see, as they see hell, they also say, I don't want to go there either. And there's been all kinds of demonstrations of hell around us. And I've said this before, when it comes to looking at some of the situations that happen in people's lives, we can distinguish pretty clearly what's God and what isn't. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So whatever you see that's killing, that's being stolen, that's destroyed, you know that's of the devil. That's the thief. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So whatever brings life into you, that is of God. Destruction is of the devil. Life is of God. And of course, we've seen this happen in Saskatchewan this week. This terrible shooting in Saskatchewan where I believe it was four that was killed. Obviously, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. The devil is behind that. It certainly wasn't God. The devil was behind that, where people's life were snuffed out at a very young age. And when I read things like that and I see that, what stirs in my spirit is that the Apostle Paul says, we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. He is the one who kills, steal, and destroy. That's the devil's work, and it makes me desirous to advance the kingdom of God so that we can speak out in every sphere of society, bring God into every sphere of society so that the devil's influence won't be nearly as high as God's influence in the land that we live in. We have a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to bring the kingdom of God into our sphere of influence so that the territory of the enemy will be plundered and the kingdom of God will be advanced. I just want to read a few scriptures that will help us to get an understanding and build faith that God has commissioned you and equipped you to advance the kingdom of God. He's commissioned you and equipped you to advance the kingdom. Say, I'm commissioned. I'm equipped to advance the kingdom. We need to be convinced of that, because if we're not convinced of that, we'll just go through life willy-nilly, not feeling that we have any responsibility into advancing the kingdom of God. God provides the provision for the vision of whatever he gives us in our lives. One of the ways that we gain the provision that we need in order to be able to meet the needs of whatever calling God has given us is to learn the principles of the kingdom of God, operate in them, and then we'll be able to see clearly the provision that God wants us to walk in. And there's some direction that Jesus gives us through the scriptures so that we might be careful to do things God's way. Luke 16:12 says, If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you're not being faithful in another man's goods or another man's things, who will give you your own? And I believe this is speaking to the nation of Israel in this case, referring to Malachi chapter 3, when God says to the nation of Israel, will a man rob God? And he said, how will a man rob God? And God said, through tithes and offerings. He's basically saying that the tithe is his, and if you're not faithful with what belongs to God, who's going to give you your own things to be able to manage? We have been given things to manage. We have been given luxury in this world, really. We have been given awesome things. Nobody in the world lives like North Americans. I mean, we have such luxury given to us, and the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Now, I don't know about you, but I see the fact that my home is heated, that's a good gift. The fact that I even have a home, that's a gift. The fact that I have running water in my house, that's a gift. The fact that we can meet in this building, that's a gift. And to me, that is a good gift, and therefore it must come down from the Father of lights. So he has given us things to manage. Stewards, the fact that I have money in my pocket, that's a gift from God, and he's giving me a stewardship over that. So I must use it according to his direction and guidance. Give and it shall be given unto you. In other words, give and more will be given. Manage things properly and you'll be given a greater charge. You'll be given more to manage. I read this scripture, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. Last week, and I didn't get to go through it the way I wanted to. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So don't ever get upset when the unrighteous prosper. Don't ever get upset about that. Just say, thank God they're working for the righteous. Thank God they're working for me. If you're one of those righteous people. See, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The Bible clearly teaches that one day there's going to be a day when all the wealth that is in the world comes into the hand of the righteous. But the righteous are going to have to be able to manage it correctly, responsibly before God. And it's just not spending it just the way we want to. It's spending it according to the way the kingdom of God works. Here's a good example of a righteous man. You know, we claim that scripture. Lord, you said the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The first thing that we have to do is, well, am I righteous? And in what way? Now, righteous simply means right standing before God. I really think that you can be right before God in one area and miss it in another. You see, there's different aspects of righteousness, of right standing before God. And we can have the blood of Jesus Christ wash our sins away, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who had no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In that way, we have right standing where our sins are washed away. But we can also, if we're looking according to this scripture, wanting the wealth of the wicked to be stored into the righteous, then we have to look at that particular right standing before God when it comes to finances. And I heard one Jewish guy say before, he said, you Christians, you live your lives from the back of the book. We live our lives from the front of the book. And the front of the book has all the information about how to prosper in God. And that's true. If you read it, go through Proverbs, you go through Deuteronomy, and so many scriptures. It tells us how to use our money and how to advance things in the kingdom with finances. Proverbs 21:26 says, the wicked covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. So a righteous person gives and does not spare. So if we're going to qualify as being the righteous that will receive the wealth that the wicked store up, then we must be one people who give and do not spare. You see, there's a correlation there. Now, Deuteronomy 8:18, the Word of God says, remember, it is the Lord thy God who gives you the ability to get wealth. Love that part. But you can't take that part without taking the other part as well. He gives us the ability to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. That he may establish the covenant, the kingdom of God upon the earth. That's the reason why God gives wealth. So if we're not using our wealth to establish the covenant in some way, we're not making proper uses of the finances of God that comes into our hands. Don't you believe that finances is a good thing that comes into your hands? Do you believe it's a good thing from God? I hope so. Otherwise, you might have your old tank full now, but eventually it's going to run out. And if you don't have any finances, you got to fill that oil tank again. You're going to have a cold winter. It's good. But he wants us to use it to advance the kingdom of God. He'll be the provider if we use it to advance the kingdom of God. And God has a vision for each and every one of us, and he wants to provide the provision for the callings that he gives us, the purpose that he gives us. And if we'll do things the kingdom of God way, he'll see that the provision is met. Now, the world has a concept of starting out on Monday morning. They have a funny concept about it, and most of it is not really good. The world has a concept that Mondays are always gloomy. We got to start the work week again. Mondays are gloomy. We'd rather not have them come. Monday again, we might say. Monday's coming again, so I'm all kind of bummed out again. Yeah, I'm just drug out. She's drug out before the work week even starts. We've probably all heard this before. Try not to buy a car that's made on Monday. Why? Because of what happens all week. You mean to tell me it's Monday today? Well, that's the world's concept of Monday. The world's concept of Monday is, I don't want to see it coming because we have to start our work week again. But as a believer, God has called you and I into positions in life where when Monday morning comes, we could be excited about it. It could be I like to call it a Yahoo Monday. I mean, a Monday, we're about ready to enter into our mission field that God has called us to bring the kingdom of God into an environment that probably doesn't know anything about God. But you're going in there, so God is going in with you. So come Monday morning, you're entering in to that position where you can make the greatest impact for the kingdom of God. I mean, that should be exciting to us. To be able to think that we're entering into our calling, the position that God has us to go into. Now, Monday might be a bad day for the world, but it's a good day for the people of the kingdom of God. Well, as I say, I like to call it a Yahoo Monday. Now, a Yahoo Monday can be looked at one of two ways. Yahoo, you can look up this definition, by the way. It actually says this in the dictionary. A Yahoo might be somebody that you see that you're really upset with. You're driving down the road and somebody cuts in front of you. You might say, what that Yahoo doing? It's a group of brutes. That's what the definition calls it. A boorish, crass, or stupid person. A bunch of yahoos making noise outside. You refer to them that way. Well, we can look at things that way. We really can. Or we can take the other definition of yahoo, and I like this. It's used to express excitement or joy. Yahoo! It's Monday. It's used to express excitement or joy because you've come into a situation where you're really excited about and you know you're going to be influential. It's Monday. It's time to take over the world. It really is. If you can you have that kind of attitude that it's time to take over the world? You're taking your influence that God has given you into your workplace and say, the kingdom of God has taken over this workplace. The kingdom of God is going to move in my workplace. It's Monday. Don't forget to be awesome. Don't forget to be awesome. What do I mean by that? I mean, don't forget when you go into your workplace on Monday morning or any morning, as far as that goes, think that you are representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your sphere of authority. How should I act? How would God want me to act as I enter into my place of employment? When I open the door and walk in and see the other workers doing their job and coming together, some grumbling about it's Monday again, and you come in with a smile on your face, you're just thanking God for the opportunity to administer the kingdom of God where you're at, the position that you're in, and you begin to influence others by the aura that's around you. Because you have been praying, you spent some time praying, and God, how can I influence my place of work this day? How can I influence the sphere of authority that you have given me? What can I do in order to make a difference for the kingdom of God as I enter into my place of employment? You see, you can bring God's presence. It's up to you. You can bring God's presence, or you can bring the world's presence and just join in with the rest of the world and say, yeah, yeah, it's Monday. My goodness sakes, it's Monday, and it's going to be a long week. Do you know what we have to do this week? Do you know how many boxes we have to pack this week? Do you know how much we have to do? And you can go looking at it, and first thing, you're down and you feel like you're glum. Or you can go in and say, praise God, it's Monday. Man, I have to get done as much as I possibly can to advance the kingdom of God. I want to be the best employee that there is in this employment center. I want to be the one to stand out. And I want to start Monday because tomorrow's Tuesday, next day is Wednesday, after that is Thursday, and then Friday's coming. The week will be gone. So I have to really push hard and get things done. I want to make a mark for the kingdom of God. Do you want to make a mark for the kingdom of God? Jesus said this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things will be taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom. That is a principle of how to operate in the kingdom of God, is you seek first at advancing his kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So when you go into your place of employment, the kingdom of God, you're carrying it in there, and you begin to influence people. And you don't have to be in management to influence people. You don't have to be in management to influence your workplace. All you have to do is be the person that God has called you to be. You walk in there with the love of God on you. Be willing not to take offense at anybody. To be willing to just pour out the love of God to others, those who do you wrong. You just love them back in whatever way you can. I'm not saying you put yourself in a position where, you know, you're treated mean and all the rest of it, but you basically walk in the love of God. You don't allow offense to change your attitude, because the power of God is within you to release the kingdom of God every place it takes you. Robert gave a good example a couple of weeks ago about the work that he's doing in cleaning these big mailboxes and so forth, and how God spoke to him, and to pray that people who come to get the mail out of those mailboxes, that they would experience God. And Robert's a man who believes in the anointing of God as well, and pray that the anointing of God would surround those mailboxes, so as people come to get their mail, they would actually walk into a little bit of heaven. They'd walk into a place where that's been prayed over, so that God can have an influence. Even when they open a bill that they might not like, somehow God will be in it. And somehow the anointing will cause them to reach out to God. I love to preach about the goodness of God and the blessing of God and the grace of God. I just feel I'm overwhelmed by the blessing of God in my life. I really do. And I'm not ashamed to say that, I don't hold that back. I just feel so blessed. I thank God. God has blessed me in so many ways. He's touched my heart in so many ways, and he's changed me in so many ways. And I seem to also know that there are so many people out there who are hurting. There are so many people who are struggling. There are so many people who are without hope. There are so many people who are harassed by demonic spirits that if they just had someone to be able to talk to them, reach out to them, and begin to hear what the Word of God has to offer them, they may be able to come out of that bondage that they're in. I mean, you might be struggling, folks. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some people here who are struggling with different things in some degrees. But sometimes when you hear the desperation that's in some people's voice, when you hear the desperate call to God for help in some way, shape, or form, or they don't know what to do, it can't help but pull on your compassion. And there's a whole lot of people out there don't even know that there's an answer. They don't even realize that it's an answer. And when you go in there into your place of employment after the weekend and you have an attitude of joy or peace on you and you have an attitude of wanting to help and so forth, they don't realize that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you'd be right where they're at. They don't know that. And unless you tell them, unless you share the word, they'll never understand. Because whatever they've been brought up in, whatever vein of thinking that they have been brought up in, it will affect them all their lives unless they get transformed by the Word of God. They'll begin to think a certain way if they've come up through a line of defeat and shame and guilt generation after generation. That guilt is being heaped on them, that they'll never amount to anything. They'll never be successful in any way. They begin to be trained in that from the time they're very young. They'll go through life that way, thinking that they'll never amount to anything. And it doesn't matter if they're successful financially. They'll still feel like they're worthless. They'll still feel shame and guilt. You see, finances is not an indication of how well you are doing. You realize that? Finances is not an indication of success. It definitely is not. Finances are simply a tool that we can use, if we use it properly, to not only have our needs met, but to advance the kingdom of God. But there's no correlation between success and finances. Really, there isn't. You can be just as miserable a person with $1 billion in the bank as a person with $100 in the bank. Or you can be just as joyful. A person can be just as joyful with little as with much. So finances is not an indication of success. I think I've found some indication of what success is. And I can explain it to you because it's in here. And it has to do with the relationship with God and an appreciation of what He has done. It has everything to do with what He's done on the inside. Now, hopefully it shows up on the outside. But on the inside is where success is determined. And you can measure your degree of success by the attitude with which you go through life with, day in and day out. Do you see life as a joy? Do you see life as something that is a gift to you from the Creator? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you go through life with that kind of an attitude? If you are, you're a successful person. You really are. You're already worth more than this world could ever hold. Jesus said, what would it gain a man? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? So one soul is worth all the profit in the world. So you're worth is immeasurable. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. You might have messed up. You might have did things that you shouldn't have did. You might be shameful of some of the things that you did, but that doesn't change your value. You're still worth more profit than this world could ever give. You're still more valuable than all the world has to offer. That's awesome when you think of it. When you go into your work place of influence on Monday morning, you go in there and you say, wow, I'm carrying in the kingdom of God. I'm carrying in God's presence. I know who I am in Christ. I know that I have something that will help any individual that's having a difficult time. Oh, I know I've got some issues in my life. I know I'm not walking in perfection, But I've learned some things, and I have a power residing on the inside of me that can influence my environment. Now, I challenged you with this before. I'm going to do it again this morning. Whatever you're involved in, does it make any difference? Whatever you're involved in, and if you're not involved in anything, then get involved in something so that you will have an influence out there. We are to have an influence in here, but also out there. This is to prepare us for influence out there. So if you have a place in employment and you go in there and you're the only person that you know of that's a Christian, then you pray and ask God, Lord, who is ready here in this place? Who is ready to receive the message of the kingdom of God? Who is ready to receive love? Lord, who can I pour love into? You go in there and you begin to act like Jesus to those people who are unsaved. And then when they get saved, you get them together and say, let's pray for co-worker so-and-so. Let's pray for this one and see if they can come into the kingdom of God. See if God will move on them, bring them in. If you know another Christian where you work, get together with them. Talk to them. Ask them, let's take in 15 minutes a day or a few minutes sometime and pray together about our workplace. Pray that our workplace will prosper. Pray that the employees here will prosper. Pray that we'll be in unity together. We'll be all working together to see the prosperity of the business prosper. You see, I believe when the kingdom of God comes into a business, it will bring prosperity to that business. It won't bring stealing or destroying. It'll bring the life of God into it. So you and I can make a difference. You believe you can? You can make a difference. We all can. We can make a difference advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do I mean by saying that once you step into doing things God's way, or you are determined to fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life, provision will be there. You see, your provision is in the vision that God has for you. If you'll step into the purposes that God has for you, you'll find provision. I like the story about Kenneth Copeland. Of course, many, many years ago, Kenneth Copeland has taken a lot of criticism. When he started out, I mean, I think he's well into his 70s now, but when he started out preaching about the message of faith and that God didn't want you poor, it wasn't holy to be poor, he took a lot of criticism because there was this attitude in the church that it was a holy thing to be poor. The poorer you were, the holier you were. Well, he preached against that, and thank God he did. We're seen from a different perspective today. But even though he had a lot of opposition, he continued to preach about that. When I remember him talking about, or pardon me, I think it was Gloria, his wife, who was talking about when they were just starting out, and they were started out trying to learn about the things of God, that they had to cook their potatoes in a tin can because they didn't have a pot to put their potatoes in. And so they learned through the process. But eventually, as he moved in what God had told him to do, he bought some land. He bought some land because he felt God led him to buy this land. Well, after a while, they discovered oil in his backyard. And so eventually, he started bringing in $1 million a month because of the oil that was discovered on his land that he bought. And I read that and I say, God, you are so awesome. If we will just move into our calling that you have called us to, you will release provision. And if God has called us to be evangelists, then our position is to evangelize. Be caught up in that, doing that as much as we can. Now, God has called each and every one of us to share the gospel of Jesus, that's for sure. But some, he has given the gift of evangelism to run with it. Every time you turn around, you're talking about Jesus. Having said that about somebody, or you know an individual who's like that, talking about the love of God and so forth, talking about our need to bring or the need to be saved, well, that might be a gift of evangelism. And if we'll pursue that, God will eventually see that every provision is met in the name of Jesus. We're all called to share Jesus. We're all called to pray. I suggest that we pray first. I want to end this time this morning just with